Hello, you are listening to Audio Fanfic Podcast.
Triangle by Scully Golightly on AO3. Rating Mature. Chapter 30. This had been the hardest goodbye. Next time they would see each other, the baby would be here, and Scully's life would be infinitely changed. In just over a month, she would be a single mother. Stella had been reluctant to leave. Scully's trip to the emergency room had scared her. She had relaxed once Scully had been cleared and discharged from the hospital, but the worry was always in the back of her mind. Stella downplayed it for Scully's benefit, seeing how her mother's constant concern seemed to suffocate her. Scully was scared, too, but she was hell-bent on not letting that get in the way of enjoying their time together. She compartmentalized, tucking her anxieties away into a box to be opened and dealt with later. Perhaps it wasn't the most responsible way to cope, but it was the best she could do, and that would have to be enough. Now, Scully's thoughts alternated between fond reminiscence of being with Stella and a gnawing fear of what might lie ahead. These fears dulling the excitement over the baby's arrival. Her mother had talked her into having a baby shower, even though she knew her only friend had just flown back to England. Maggie said she would have her friends over, and the invites went out. Scully dreaded the day, as well as the rest of the baby planning. It had been fun getting some stuff with Stella, but now that she was left to do it by herself, or with her over-anxious mother, it became an unpleasant chore. She made her way down the halls of the FBI, coolly deflecting stares from other agents. She thought how nice it would be to not come here every day, not to go into that basement office that was filled with memories and files that comprised her life with Mulder. It may have been an unconventional life together, but it was just that, a life together. She'd wait until she was on maternity leave to tell Doggett and give her notice to Skinner. Or maybe she was jumping the gun a bit without having another job in place. Scully made a mental note as she got on the elevator to call her colleague Vivian, who ran the forensics department at Quantico, to see if there was a place for her in the faculty. Her thoughts about leaving were coincidentally juxtaposed with news from Skinner that Doggett had been offered advancement by Kirsch. When he came into the office and told her he wasn't considering the offer, she felt a twinge of guilt. "You don't owe me anything, Agent Doggett." He joked that he still had questions. It was almost satirical to hear him say he wanted to stay when she was already one foot out the door. She couldn't add his voluntary career suicide to her list of worries right now, though. Especially not when another worry was about to take its place at the top of that list. When Scully didn't call her back for a few days, Stella thought nothing of it. They often went long periods in between talking. It felt as if no time had passed when they did reconnect. Although this time, she didn't know that Mulder had been resurrected and was fighting for his life again. She must have been craving company because she went to the pub Louise worked at after she got off work. When she stepped through the door, she saw Dembry sitting at the bar talking to Louise. She almost turned around and left before either of them could see her, but that made her feel silly, so she walked up to them and took the seat next to him. Louise was surprised to see her, but tried to mask it, the corners of her mouth fighting the wide grin, wanting to appear. Dembry tried to hide his own flustering, sitting up straighter, attempting to exude a workplace professionalism. Stella noticed all this. It amused her, but also made her wish she had a few more people in her life who were comfortable around her. Not that Louise couldn't be, it was just that their comfortableness was private. "Hi," Stella said amiably. "Ma'am," Dembry replied with a polite nod. Stella smiled and shook her head imperceptibly. "Of all the gin joints in all the world," Louise joked, and Stella laughed, and Dembry's jaw dropped. Scully unlocked her apartment door, shaky hands. She had to come home to shower and change and get down that box of Mulder's clothes she hadn't donated. Clothes Mulder needed now because he was alive. Mulder was alive. She rubbed her face with her hands, the realization washing over her again in waves. All the different emotions, collecting into nervous energy, coursing through her. Scully was surprised she hadn't gone into early labor, considering what had happened over the past few days. It was in the shower when the thought that she needed to call Stella and tell her hit her. How would she explain such a thing? She sat down on her bed in her robe, hair dripping onto the comforter. The phone was in her still shaky hands. She took a deep breath and dialed. Louise, in the interest of discretion, felt like she couldn't bring up much regarding Stella, so she talked about herself, which was her default anyway. She and Dembry told Stella how they had met and became friends. Dembry had been flatmates with Louise's brother. Dembry had finally eased his nerves over being around Stella in such a casual manner, and the three of them were having a good time, talking and drinking. Stella's phone rang, and she took it out of her pocket and looked at the screen. "Pardon me," she said, excusing herself and stepping away to an unoccupied corner of the bar. "Hello?" Silence. "Scully." Scully cleared her throat. "Stella." A long pause. "Something's happened." Stella felt her heart drop. "Oh, God." "Mulder is... he is..." She swallowed roughly. "Mulder is alive." Stella almost laughed. Her brain couldn't compute Scully's words. It sounded like a cruel joke. But she knew Scully would never joke about this. "It's a long story," Scully continued. "I can barely make sense of it myself." Scully's words fell away from Stella's ears, and all she could hear sounded like Scully was talking to her from underwater. Panic set in, confused panic. What Scully said, Mulder being alive, that this was real? How? It's not possible. Her mind rejected the thought. "Discharged from the hospital this morning," Scully said, still speaking, her voice becoming clear to Stella again. I don't know what to say," whispered Stella. "I mean, what does one say to something like this?" She was a whole mess of feelings right now, and a lot of them were ugly feelings she wasn't proud of. Mulder's alive. Then why does it feel like somebody died? Something did die, though, didn't it? Stella thought. Her emotions had instantly felt like grief, but rationally, she should have been feeling the opposite. I guess if people could come back from the dead, Mulder was deserving of such a miracle, as was Scully. Then her thoughts turned selfish. If people can come back from the dead, then why couldn't her father? Why did it have to be someone who could take away the one person she loves from her? She was suddenly glad that Scully hadn't heard her say, "I love you." But then that felt really petty. Stella cringed, disturbed by the path her feelings had taken. Scully had said it out loud. She loved her. Maybe that hadn't changed. And if Scully hadn't hurt her, then maybe she could pretend she didn't, and this would all be easier to take. Scully covered her eyes with her hand. This was such a weird conversation, and she didn't know how to feel about it. She had put herself in Stella's place and tried to consider what it would be like to get this news, but she couldn't begin to imagine. "Stella, I have to go, but I will call you soon. Okay?" "Soon," she assured her. She would let Stella absorb the shock and give herself some time to as well. Scully felt "I love you" on her lips, but she just said bye and hung up. Stella stood, stunned, her hand dropping with the phone to her side. She went back to her place at the bar and gathered her things. "I have to go." "Everything okay?" Louise said, worried by the stricken look on Stella's face. "Yes," replied Stella, unconvincingly. She took her wallet out to pay for her drinks. "Don't worry about it." Louise waved her hand at her. "Thanks," said Stella, and muttered goodnight to the two of them and left. They entered Scully's apartment, Scully carrying Mulder's duffel bag. She had apologized for packing up his apartment and that he couldn't go back home. It had been rented out soon after. He understood, kind of. "You were dead," following the buts after these apologies making sense, but not. It was as if he had come out of a coma, but no one had been waiting for him to wake up, having resigned to the fact that he was gone. He looked around her apartment and saw his fish tank in the corner of the living room. Mulder gave Scully a shy smile before going over to it. "Missing Amali," he noticed. "Yeah, she wasn't as lucky as you." They looked at each other awkwardly, and then Mulder looked away. Scully said, "Mulder, I don't know if you'll ever understand what it was like. First, learning of your abduction, and then searching for you, and finding you dead. And now to have you back and... Her voice cracked. Well, you act like you're surprised, he chuckled, glad he was able to make jokes, but hating what he had said. Scully didn't laugh. I prayed a lot, she told him, and my prayers have been answered. He swallowed, then looked at her stomach, in more ways than one. Scully looked down at herself. Her pregnant belly was the elephant in the room, and her cheeks turned red. Yeah. I'm happy for you. I think I know how much that means to you. To me, Scully thought, his words and his tone devastating her. She tried not to show it, but she was very close to breaking down into tears. Mulder, she said, risking her voice to betray her composure. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be cold or ungrateful. I have no idea where I fit in right now. I'm having a little trouble processing everything. Yeah, of course, Scully said, nodding, trying to wipe the pain look off her face. He needed time. Can I get you anything? Are you hungry? Mulder shook his head. I'm going to put your stuff in the bedroom, she said, picking up his bag. Why don't you just rest? Rest, Mulder said to himself, bemused. I've been resting for 3 months. Scully just looked at him. She had no idea how to respond to most of the things he had been saying. Scully searched his eyes. She wanted, needed, their unspoken communication, their connection. It wasn't there. She turned and left the room. When she came back, Mulder was standing with his back to her, looking at something in his hands. He turned at the sound of her and held up a picture frame. Where was this taken? Her heart beat fast. London, she said, trying to be nonchalant and kicking herself for not putting the photo away. It was of her and Stella. Louise had taken it with a vintage Instamatic. I went there after you. After we buried you. Those words never be easy to say, and she hoped it didn't sound like how she thought it did, like she had moved on from his death so quickly. To see Stella. Yes. Might as well be honest, she thought. Oh. They stood in awkward silence, avoiding each other's eyes. Mulder set the photo back down on the desk. I think I do need some time to rest, he said, and sat down on the sofa. Why don't you go lie in the bed? Scully suggested, taking his jacket that he had shrugged off. No, it's all right. Here's fine. He lay down, adjusting one of the tossed pillows under his head. Scully watched him fold his arms over his chest and close his eyes. She resisted the urge to touch him, to smooth his hair, to run her thumb across his lower lip. Was it because he seemed so fragile that she was afraid to touch him? Or something else?
If you like this story and would like to contribute, you can do so by going to our Patreon page at www.patreon.com/audiofanficpod. As a patron, you are granted early access to one new story of your choosing per month. Thank you for listening. And remember, the stories are out there.